see if it's your name.
Yeah.
last verse. Lord, well, thank you for bringing us here today, Lord. Just bless us all, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm like, no.
request? Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll make sure I wasn't forgetting nothing. Yeah, we got a lot to pray about. There's several things mentioned this morning. Mary pray for Matthew and Christina, the baby, and they everything's been looking good so far. And so just continue to pray for them, Lord, continue to help and bless them. Remember Derek and Katie and the baby. I said this morning, I'll tell you again, I don't think they want me to tell, but oh well, I tell it anyway. They're gone this morning to get induced. But the reason that they've been, you know, private about it is because they just want some privacy, you know, for the first few days. And that's understandable, you know. Like, nobody's going to get mad at you over that. So I'm just telling all of you to be prayed for. They are going down there at least in the day to be induced. And they just want some privacy. So, you know, if you have the urge, you want to reach out to them, whatever else, just wait. Give them a few days. And in the meantime, reach out to him. Just pray for him. And lift him up to the Lord in prayer. In any case, my poor wife, she never got any privacy because, you know, I'm not like that. I'm kind of like, hey, I'm calling everybody I know, people I ain't seen in 10 years. I'm like, come look at this baby. You know, my poor wife, she's like, oh my God. You know, she's about to have a meltdown. You know, and I'm like, call, I'm like trying to get the whole house filled with people over here. I'm going to show them this baby. You know, I'm tickled to death. You know, but that's the difference between me and everybody else, I guess. But in any case, I wasn't the one having to stay up with it all night and everything here, you know, so that's a little bit of a difference there. But in any case, yeah, just pray for them both. And let's see, what else was it? I don't know. There's a lot of people that's had sickness and different things going on. There's people that's lost love, people have been praying for it. I know there's some of you that's mentioned some this morning. You can feel free to mention them again here during before the worship hour. Good to have Brother Robert with us. Been praying for him. The Lord to help and touch him. He said he's been having trouble. He's lower back now from just where he's had to do a whole lot of sitting and the way the position he's had to lay in from having that, you know, sore on him and stuff. His back's really giving him a fit now. So just pray for him. Continue to pray for him. The Lord to touch that and help that. Who's got a special request? Let's remember all these things. And I see that's why I don't do this because I can't hear I'm no good at this. Anyways, who else has a request that we need to pray about this morning? Something you'd like to mention.
Someone said that this hasn't taken a
doctor. Yeah. Yeah. If I forget to mention something about you, don't get mad at me. That's why I don't do this. You can ask these deacons, the one thing I asked, I said, I don't want to change things. The only thing I ask is that somebody do the prayer request. That's the only thing I ask. Because I can't tell you how many people I talked to at Mount Calvary that bust because the preacher didn't even mention them in the prayer request about their income Monday or whatever the case was. And I was like, I'm going to get myself out of that mess. I'll let the Lord reach back. He's a good man. He's very thorough and you know, he's not as goofy as I am. He's, you know, he just does really well at it. Yeah, I do remember Miss said that. I said Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian both this morning. Well, they didn't say that about Preacher Billy, but I'm sure that he'll be fine if we pray for him. But they said that Miss Vivian said that she's having some back trouble this morning. Pray for her. Pray for Miss Ginger. She called her asleep and she's got some health issues and things going on. Some different things with her heart and some things with her gut and some tests they're gonna be running here coming up. So just be praying for her, Lord, to help touch her. I want to thank God for answering prayer.
Amen.
I called Derek and Katie this morning. I was praying with them. I was just talking to them, you know, this morning before they went in down there for all that to happen. I told them, I said, it's amazing how many prayers the Lord's already answered concerning this little baby, you know, this little girl. And, I don't know how much y'all kept up with or paid attention along through, but, you know, there's been one problem after another that's presented itself for them. It seems in complication with the pregnancy and everything else. And, you know, it wouldn't last too long, and they'd come back and say, "Well, you know, it's going to be better than it was before. In any case, I've just seen the Lord answer a lot of prayers. And, you know, I'm looking around here this morning, and, you know, I see a lot of answered prayers. You know, I can see the Lord answering prayers this morning. There's people that's here this morning that, you know, I prayed for years ago that they would be in church, and they're here this morning. I thank God for that. You know, I see my children here in the house of God this morning, and, you know, it's answered prayer. You know, I just, there's so many of you that's, you know, we've talked about things that's, you know, just personal. I'm not going to get into, but you know what I'm talking about. And the Lord's answered them prayers. Some of them just things that, you know, me and you, the Lord knows about. Some things that's, you know, you've told me about, this dealing with family and different things. And the Lord's come through for you. What a blessing that is. Yeah. And I thank God for answering prayer. I thank God for not only hearing us, but answering prayer. What a blessing that is. Amen. All right. Has anybody else got anything else this morning? Let's have everybody can we'll get around the altar and we'll pray this morning. Ask Brother Matthew Johnson if you would rather lead us in the word of prayer. Soon, probably till after we do the revival, the youth rally in April, I'll be putting up a sign-up sheet. The next, I guess that's a month and a half out. But in any case, I'll be putting a sign-up sheet afterwards for our youth camp coming up in the June. And if you haven't been, then I encourage you to go. And you know, anybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome if you want to come. You know, you kids especially, I want you to come. I'm telling you, it'd be good for you, help you, it'd grow you. We'll have a lot of fun. We'll do a lot of fun things. You get to go tubing, and, you know, you get to go fishing, you get to play a lot of games, and they got a game room over there and everything else. Not like video games, but actual games where you've got balls and physical things involved, you know. But in any case, you'll have a blast, you'll have a good time, but believe it or not, tell somebody this morning, the thing that you'll get to enjoy the most is the worship. Now, you're young, and you think to yourself, well, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but I'm telling you, it's a different environment. And you get up there, and you can take it, you can ask some of these that's been, you can ask Cooper there, you can ask Noah, you can ask Sarah and Rose, they'll tell you. Ones that's been with us, they'll tell you. You can ask Silas here, and she'll tell you. that the worship is what's fun. You ask Zoe, she'll tell you, the worship is the funnest part, ain't it? Getting in there in the church services, ain't it a blessing? Amen. Amen. Girls, y'all ever seen anything like that? They'll tell you, no, you ever seen anything like that? What about you, Cooper? Enjoy it, don't you? Amen. It's a blessing. So if you happen to be coming, listen, you adults, welcome to come to it. Like I said, if you don't want to come and stay, you can't take off all week, at least come up there every evening and join us for a service. We have morning and evening services. You're welcome to come to one or both. You're welcome to eat with us if you want to, or whatever the case may be. But be thinking about it, be praying about it, and come on, go with us. Amen. It'll be a blessing. All right. Be praying for that. Be praying for the youth meeting coming up. Be praying for camp meeting coming up. Camp meeting's coming up. It'll be here for long. What is it, second week in June? Something like that. That's when it starts. It starts first week in June or second week in June?
Second.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It starts second week in June. Yeah. Be praying much about that. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Get together with all these little churches. You know, it's a special thing that we have to be able to get along with this many of our brothers and sisters that we share the ideology with, the truth with, you know. At this day and time, it's hard for people to get along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for us to be able to get together with these other churches, you know, our sister churches, and, you know, get together and worship together like that, that's a blessing. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to camp meeting or you're not planning on coming, then you ought to plan on coming, amen?
Yeah.
Being there, it'll be a help to you, be a blessing to you. It's always a blessing to me, but be praying about it. You know, we can't have a revival unless we're praying about it, and we want it, and we ought to want it. We ought to see our need for it, desire it, want it. And you know, it ought to be something worth, if your vacation is worth taking off work for, you got to take off work to be at the house of God for a revival meeting. It ought to be worth it. It'll do more for you. It'll give you more peace and relaxation that vacation with. I promise you that. You think you're going on that vacation to get some rest and to get some relaxation, but you know what? You come back and you're more stressed out than you was before you left. Because now you got to go back to work and the real world starts back over again. And, I mean, it's just, you know, it's never ending. But you can go to the house of God and get in one of these meetings and it'll refresh you. It'll give you rest. It'll give you peace. It'll wear you out. Going to work every day, getting off, coming home, getting kids ready, rushing over to the house of God. I know, trust me, it'll wear you out. Especially if you're a woman, or my wife. Because I don't help at all. I do some, but not much. She really does do most of it. That's not because I'm so bad, it's because she's so good at it. Like I said, the women work for us, that means women are helping. I said, I can't help, she's such a good woman. You know, don't get mad at me about it, go fuss at her about it. But in any case, it will wear you out physically. But our strength is renewed day by day. Amen. Mm-hmm. You get in there in meetings, and you know, you sometimes they get going, you might not get out of there at 9:30. You say, I don't know if I want to sit in church 2 hours. Hey, if the worship's good, brother, I can sit there.
Amen.
I can endure it. Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. But in any case, plan on that. Plan on being there. Plan on coming to the youth meeting. This is for everybody. Word of God's good for all ages. Amen. All right. Yeah, I'm called up now. This is where I'm supposed to be. Does anybody have, I was thinking if there's anything else that I normally don't do that I'm supposed to do. See, it gets me all confused. Does anybody have a song I'm going to sing this morning before we get started? Amen. Go ahead, girls.
Don, before they sing, let me just tell the youth that we've had to change the location of our walk-in. We was going to do it at the City of Hickory's site, but because of some insurance reasons, we've had to change that. So now we're going to do it at the Drexel Recreation Center. Same day, March the 8th, from 6:30 till 11. That way we have access to the ball courts and the things like that. So we'll have pizza and drinks. Just bring snacks if you like to want snacks, and bring any board games or whatever you want to do. And it's in the newsletter. Sherry's already put in the newsletter. But I want to just kind of, that's not what we planned, but that's the reason why we had to move it.
Okay. Good deal. Thank you.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the
number 1. To get the context of what we're reading here, we will start with verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossus, grace be unto you, peace to God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith and grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. We can stop right there. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it, and help us, Lord, to glean knowledge, Lord, from it this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us to have conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, from you, God, this morning. I pray that you would deal with our hearts in such a way that we would repent and draw closer to you, and that you would be glorified. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we beg. Amen. Paul is writing to the Colossians here, to the church, to the Christians that are there in Colossae, and he is informing them, and he is starting out more or less just bragging on them, encouraging them, thanking them for being faithful and for believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, being faithful to serve him, and to not only just believe in word only, but in action, they are being faithful in what they are doing. And as he goes on, he tells them that he's been praying for them, because he says there in verse number 9, he says, we're not been ceasing to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom
and spiritual understanding. They said, we desire, and our prayer is in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And he goes on to talk about what God has done for them. And he goes on to tell how it has been God all alone who's took care of every aspect of their Christian walk. Amen? It's not as if that the Christians here, the Colossians there that were in Christ, that they somehow had a special ability above those that were in Corinth or above those that were in Ephesus to walk worthy of the vocation that they were called to. But it was by the strength that God had given, and it was by the working of the Holy Spirit, and it was by the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ that they were able, and even able to believe in the Scriptures, able to believe in that of Jesus Christ. It was all by Him. It was all because of Him. And Paul goes on to give Him the glory that He so deserves. A lot of times, as human beings, as people in the flesh, we tend to be living our lives as if we are the center of the universe. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that I'm the center of the universe. Let me say this. How many of you have ever read a novel or you've seen a movie? Come on now, y'all watch TV, don't you? You've seen some television, right? You've watched some TV shows. Well, you know, generally speaking, there is a main character to the movie, right? And there'll be some supporting characters for that main character. And then everybody else is just, what you might say, background people. Today, in today's terminology, some of you young people might know them as NPCs, non-playable characters. That's what they call the ones in some video games that are not able to be played. And if you're older and you don't get that, that's okay. But anyways, they're background characters. Just think about the television, or you can think about it in whatever terms you need to see it as. And you say, well, preacher, where are you going with this? Just pay attention and you'll get it in a minute. We live our lives as if though that we are the main characters in our own story. We do. And that our families, our loved ones, and everybody around us that we know that interacts with us personally, that they are the supporting characters. And everybody else is just the background characters. Well, guess what? We need to realize that in their story, they're the main character. Right? You're not the main character in their story. You're not the main character in Joe Biden's story. You're not the main character in Roy Cooper's story. You're not the main character in some of them actors and actresses in Hollywood, some other people you may know of, but you don't know them personally. You're not the main character in their story. Amen. Guess what? Husbands, whether you like to think of it or not, you're not the main character in your children's story. Right? Wives, you're not the main character in your husband's story. We live our lives as if though we're the main character in a story that's being told, and that's the way that we see things. But that's not biblical, because God would have us to see it that we are all background characters. There are no supporting characters. Please understand this. This is the message this morning. You're not the main character. He is.
Amen.
That's the title of the message this morning. If you want to put it down, write it down to help you remember it, or whatever the case may be, is you're not the main character. He is. Matter of fact, we're not even supporting characters. To be a supporting character, there has to be a contribution that you've made to that of the main character. What could you and I contribute to God? If you sit here this morning and you think that God somehow needs you, you got another thing coming, honey, I want to tell you right now, we need Him for everything. We need Him from the time that we open our eyes in the morning to the time we lay our head down at night and all through the night as we're sleeping. Hey, we need Him, honey, I promise you. There ain't a time in our life that we're ever not going to need Him. But the very fact that we're able to breathe oxygen in and exhale carbon dioxide, it is by His grace. I want to tell you, science can explain it all they want. in everything that happens. There's not a thing that happens that is not a part or outside of His will. Amen. Can we accept that this morning? He is the main character. He's not only the main character, He's the one writing the story. Amen. He's the one that's publishing it and making sure that it's getting done. Amen. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 16, it says in verse number 16 of Colossians 1, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Amen. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was not made for us. We were made for Him. We were made to glorify Him. Everything that was made to glorify God. Amen. He is a sovereign God. He is one that is in absolute control. Everything that happens is according to His will. Amen. Hey, the Bible says that all things work together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Can you believe that this morning? Hey, next time you're going through a hard time, honey, next time you're going through a trial, next time there's some kind of wickedness that befalls you, can you trust God with it? I can trust God with it. You know why? Because the Bible says that He's not withheld a thing from you and I, that He spared not even His own Son, but delivered Him up for you and I. Hey, that was in the sovereignty of God. We look at those leaders at the time, and they sought to kill Jesus. They got it in their heart to kill Jesus. Hey, where do you think that notion come from? I want to tell you this morning, honey, that God had already put that in the plan book. Amen. Because it was necessary that He should die on the cross, that my sin would be paid for.
Amen.
That's the saddest thing that ever happened in history. I don't care what you've lost in life. I don't care what kind of sad story you know of somebody that's went through a hard time. The saddest thing that ever happened in history was Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah, right.
An innocent man who had done nothing but good and loved his neighbor and kept the word of God and been faithful to the word of God. And he went and he died, was put to death, and he was marked up there, and he was put to death on that cross. They whipped him. They mocked Him. They said He saved others. Let Him save Himself. They said, "Oh, you who said that you would tear down the temple and raise it up again." Hey, He was talking about the temple of His body. He said, "I have power to lay my body down, and I have power to take it up again." They wasn't no man, believe you me, honey. As much as man likes to think that he's in charge and he's got power and authority, they wasn't no man that put Him to death that day. The Bible said that He gave up the ghost. It was by Him on His own power that He laid down His body. And it's by His power that He raised it up again. He's sovereign. He's in control. Everything that happens is for His glory. Everything that happens. That seems to bother us. And I don't know why. It gives me comfort. It gives me peace. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. You say, well, Bible says that all things were created by Him and for Him. You might say, well, what about Hitler? What about Mussolini? What about them abortionists? How does that glorify God? It absolutely will glorify God. You say, well, preacher, now that's a stretch. The Bible tells us this. First of all, Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. If we can believe the word of God this morning, the Bible says, "Let God be true, every man a liar." Mm-hmm. Proverbs 16, 4. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. We need to throw our emotions and our feelings out the window and let the Word of God say what it says. The Bible says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Does it say some things? It says all things. Where you say, well, preacher, he's talking about the clouds, and he's talking about the stars, he's talking about the waterfalls and the mountains, he's talking about the oceans, he's talking about the natural wonders. He's not talking about people. He's not talking about individuals. It says things. He's made all things for himself. It's talking about everything in existence, and the last part of the verse lets us know that. He says, not only do I want you to understand and know that I'm not only talking about just simply things, and things that have been created, things that are inanimate, things that have no soul. But he says, I want you to understand that not only even those that will live for me, not only those that will obey me, not only those that will repent and be my children. He says, but in verse number 4, he says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Even the wicked for the day of evil. He says, I, the Lord, he says, I am the Lord. He says, there is none else in the book of Isaiah. He says, I am the Lord, there is none else. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. He said that there is no other sovereign, there is no other power but his own. Now, if you think this regular man doesn't like that, then let me tell you, the governments and those that really think they do have power, they despise that, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. He says that even the wicked for the day of evil. The Bible tells us back here in the book of Romans in chapter number 9. Romans in chapter number 9. The Bible says this. Verse number 6 says, not as though the word of God hath taken no effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now this is a message we can preach another day, and should be preached, and we will preach it another day, but I want to read through some things. If you don't understand this exactly what it's talking about, that's fine, but the point that we're going to make, we will make here later, in just a minute. Verse 8 says, that is, that they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is not by the will of man that we know God. It is by the mercy of God, the one that is able to show mercy. If somehow I could say that I was able to reason in my mind that I should go with God, and rather than some other religion, rather than Buddhism, or rather than Confucianism, or rather than Hinduism, or rather than Islam, if I believe that the God of the Bible is the one true God, then I'm able to reason that within my mind. And when on the day of judgment, whenever all those that are sinners have been cast into that lake of fire, I can say, shame on you. You should not go. But the Bible says, it's not of works, lest there should be boasting. The Bible says, it is not of him that willeth. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, says that those that believed on him, it says that he gave power to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. Amen. So God receives the glory. God receives the praise. I can never say that I am somehow more intelligent, or that I am somehow more able to believe than somebody else. It's a supernatural belief, amen. It's a supernatural faith, amen, that we would even believe. God gives us the faith. It is a gift. It comes from above. The Bible tells us here in Romans, he says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. It says, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Verse 17 of Romans 9. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. He raised Pharaoh up for the purpose to stand against him. That he might reveal that he is the sovereign, that there is none that can stand against him. He says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, then why doth he yet find fault, for who hath resisted his will? You say, well, why is it that he would harden Pharaoh's heart? Like, what is it that Pharaoh has done or thought, or what's the deal? Why doth he find fault? Because who could have resisted his will? Because we know that the Bible says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, right? But then he says this, he said, don't question God's motive. And he tells us this, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? We're not the main character. He is the main character. You're not a supporting character. You have no contribution to make for him. All contributions are made by him for you. Amen. That's why we have praise. That's why we have gratitude. That's why we're able to see past what's just right in front of us. The only way we can live for heaven is to get our eyes on heaven. Amen. Amen. He's the main character. The Bible says, neighbor, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, pay attention to this, and to make his power known, endureth with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. I want to tell you, friend, that whenever I get to the kingdom of God, I'm not going to be saying, boy, I'm glad I went with Jesus. It ain't going to be no I. It's going to be all about him. I'm going to see that great white throne of judgment. I'm going to witness all those people that are standing there, and they're going to be bowing down. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue's going to confess, and he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And I'm going to say, that's where I ought to be. That's where I should be right now. I have done nothing at all to deserve this. And he's going to say, bring me a robe of white. And he's going to put it around me. He's going to say, welcome, my son. And I'm not going to be able to come up with one word of being glad that if anything that I've done, because I'm going to realize perfectly with that glorified body and that glorified mind that he done it all. Amen. He done it all. And he'll be glorified. He'll be praised. He says that all things are made by him and for him. The Bible says that the righteous shall rejoice in the day of judgment and wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. We talk about washing feet as a sign of humility. That's what it's talking about. It's a sign of humility to show that we're servants of one another. That's why they've done that. The first church age, they've done that. You know, back years ago, churches around there used to do that. They'd have feet washing, they'd do that. Just to remember that time is sort of a tradition they kept up to remind us that we're all just servants of one another. There's both big I's and little U's. Each and every one of you, remember this. God has called me to pastor. He's called me to lead. But I'm to lead by serving. I'm not a dictator. I'm not here because I earned this position or I worked for it. God has put me here. And I'm no more important than any of you are. Each and every one of you have a place and a purpose in this church that is just as great. He is the head. Amen. Amen. Not I. He is. And that's why we're called to have humility to serve one another. That's why the Bible says that we will rejoice on the day of judgment. The rejoicing comes from us realizing what we deserved and where we should be standing and realizing what He has done for us. It says we'll wash our feet in the blood of the wicked. I believe we're going to wash from those people. We're going to be so humbled by the fact that we were not standing there in front of that great white throne. We're going to be so humbled by the fact that God loved us enough to spare us from that judgment. I want to say this morning. There are people that think they're going to heaven that will not because they believe that they have somehow done something to earn God's favor. Even if it's just having enough sense to believe. I don't have enough sense to believe. You don't have enough sense to believe. It is a supernatural faith that He gives. If you believe in God today, if you believe that Jesus died for your sin, it did not come from you. Hey, repent of that pride and give God the glory. That's what He wants from you this morning. He says, I have made all things myself and through Christ and for Him that He would be glorified. The Bible says this. It says, whether there be, in verse 16, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the world governments, the ones that's got the nuclear codes, they think that they've got authority. I'm going to tell you, they have zero. And that's why they hate God, because God tells them, I have the authority, and you'll do what I say you'll do, and I'll move you just like chess pieces on a board, the way that you're going to be moved, whether you like it or not. And they don't like that idea. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to have that on them. But I want to tell you right now, He is sovereign, amen. You say, well, how can things work to the good? How can we just trust that He's sovereign? He can't be sovereign if there's all this wicked noise. He's sovereign, child of God. I promise you, like I said, there ain't nothing sadder ever happened than Jesus died on the cross, and look what that done for us. Yeah. When He says that He's working all things together for the good, we can believe Him. Amen. If America fails as a nation, and your lost loved ones lose out on their pensions and their retirements and their health insurance, and they lose all those things, they can't go on vacation, where they lose homes and they lose houses, and they lose all their land, and they lose their vehicles, and the economy completely crashes, and we're starving to death. Oh, what a sad situation that would be. But if that's what it takes for lost sinners to be saved, what a glorious occasion. Because this life is temporal. Let's not get our teeth so sunk into this world that we lose our grasp on heaven. It is an eternal place, amen. Let's remember that. This isn't a social club this morning, church. I'm not having you here this morning just to help you live your best life now. Amen. If you're living your best life now, that means you're going to hell.
That's right.
This is not your best life. This life is miserable compared to the one that God's got prepared for you and I. Now, how fortunate and blessed we are to live in America, in a country that is free. The country where we can preach, a country where we can earn a living, and we can have things and own things, and we are so blessed and we are so spoiled by God in this nation that we live in. But let's not cling to that. The Bible says he that seeks to save his life shall lose it. Amen. If you're willing to give it up for Him, you'll keep it. You know what I'm going to tell you, the best way to keep the freedoms and the blessings that we have in this nation? Quit caring so much about it. Start caring about what He wants for your life. That's where that freedom, that's where the blessings, that's where the blessings of God in this nation come from. But it was by people serving Him. It wasn't because they were trying so hard to progress as a nation. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you.
Amen.
He wants to be first in your life. That's why he says also this. He says that he is before all things, verse 17. Means he comes before everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. By him, all things consist. We talked about that. He is the glue that holds everything together because his word says so. Bible says this, and he is the head of the body, the church. I've preached the head of myself. There ain't no big eyes and little ears. He is the head, amen. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That word eminence means superiority or fame or having some type of notoriety. But preeminence is greater than even eminence. And it means that it is something that was not earned. It was something that did not have to be gained over a period of time. At one point in time, Donald Trump was born. Nobody knew who he was. He was just a baby, right? You think of anybody famous that's like that. They have to earn their notoriety. They have to earn their right to fame, whatever it may be. You think about Olympic gold medalists. They had to work hard and earn the right to be the very best at what they done. That's what they had to work towards. They had to put a lot of effort into that to be the very best at what they done. But the Bible says that his preeminence is something that was given him before the foundation when he always was. That's why he says, I am, amen? Because there was no beginning to him. There will be no end because he is the creator. He is the one that the time and space does not apply to, amen? And the Bible says that in him that he might have the preeminence in all things, the superiority in all things. It is owed to him that we should glorify him with every part of our being, that every aspect of our lives should give praise and honor to him. That is his desire, that's his purpose for you and I. The Bible says this, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I've been preaching a lot on this lately. I'm going to hit on it just a little bit more. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. It is getting late. I'm going to cut it short. I might go back to this next week, but I'm going to stop right here at verse 19, so you can just stay with me for just this last verse. I've been preaching on this lot lately. The Bible says that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That means completion. That means contentment. That means satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this Wednesday night. If y'all were here Wednesday night, you might remember this. I talked a lot about this, how that everything in the world that you want can still leave you feeling empty. Okay. Little Jesse is just telling me about a gun he wanted. He'd been wanting, and I've heard him talk about it for a couple weeks, and he's got it, and he said he's been shooting. They just don't shoot like he wanted it to. I told him this morning, I said, I might use that in my sermon illustration. He said, go right here. That's the way it goes with everything, ain't it, brother? That's the way it goes with everything. That's the stuff and things and achievements just don't live up to our expectations. Got a buddy back here, he's been working hard, racing. He done good yesterday. You care if I use you for a minute, buddy? I'm telling you, you talk about dedicated. Boy goes and runs like miles up and down his brother's driveway, like steep. Does 100 push-ups a day. Sprints up that driveway and runs back down to the bottom and starts doing push-ups just to try to get in better shape. Goes and rides that four-wheeler, you know. He goes and, gets on his mountain bike and goes mountain biking for a couple hours at a time just so he can stay in good shape, just so he can go race. You know, several years ago, he was racing and he done real good. He was basically cheated, but he should have won the championship in A class, which is right next to Pro class in Mid-East Terror Scramble Series racing. Anyways, that's really good. That's a big achievement. And he started out this year. He ain't raced in a couple years. He started out this year. He didn't do as good as he wanted to. Then this last race, he done a little better. Then the race that they had yesterday, this is the third race of the season, he cut in half where he'd finished before. So basically he finished twice as better as he did before. He'd got, he'd moved up the pack twice as much. He'd cut his times in half and all that. So
You know, now, you'd think that that would be really pleasing to him, but I promise you, if you go and ask him, he's probably got ambitions to want to do even better, don't you? What if you won that championship? You'd be wanting to race the GNCC championship next, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Because as much as we can achieve and as much as we can do, no matter how hard we work at it, how much effort we put into it, it's never going to be enough. But the Bible says it pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. If you want satisfaction, if you want completeness, if you want to be filled, serve God. Glorify Him. Praise Him. Give Him glory. Amen. He's worthy. He deserves it. I'm not the main character in this story that I'm living. I might feel that way a lot of times because I'm conscious of who I am and what's going on around me. He's the main character. I'm not a supporting character. I have no significant contribution to make to His character, His existence. He's the one that makes all contributions for me and for you. Have you truly glorified Him for being the awesome, good, loving, caring Creator that He is, has been, and will be in your life? Have you truly? When's the last time that you just sat down and cried and thanked Him for being so good to you? There's so many out there that are lost. I know people that's probably, you know, by man standards, better people than I am, but they don't go to church. The Lord, I say, God, why would you call me out of darkness? I don't deserve this. And I'm reminded of the zero factor of contribution that I've made to this in relationship. He's done it all. I wish I could go back, and I can't, but I wanted to say some things there in the first several verses that we read there where he talks about walking worthy. It says, let's let me read a couple things. It's verse 11. It says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might. According to what? Your willingness to do so. No, according to His glorious power. That's in verse 11. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints' life, who's made us, who has created us, who has brought us to the place where we would be partakers of the inheritance that He's prepared for His Son is prepared for you and I, and that was done by Him, not by something we have done. The Bible says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He has brought us out of the power of sin. The old man has passed away and we become new, not because we worked our way through it and worked our way towards it and we was able to overcome. We didn't overcome because of us. We overcome because of Him. He hath delivered us. Amen. He delivered us from the power of darkness. What does that mean? He saved us from it. We were powerless and He was powerful. It says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Just as we read about Enoch, and it says that he was translated. The Bible tells us that he was not, and God took him, amen. And just as he was magically, supernaturally taken from this world and put into the kingdom of God, you and I could have not naturally gone there because of sin. He had to translate us. We are destined for His kingdom, amen. And the Bible says here, kingdom is near, so in whom we have the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed, we have been bought, we belong to Him because of the blood that He shed on Calvary. Yeah. Our sins have been forgiven, they've been removed. We'll go into that maybe no more next week for preaching this hymn, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't give me something else to preach. And we'll go on to verse 20. But when's the last time you glorified God and give Him praise for it all? How about this? Let's bow our heads real quick. How hard have you been trying to fix things in your life? How hard have you been, man, I've just been giving.
powerless. And you will be until you give it to Him. All power is His. Would you glorify Him this morning? Would you give Him praise this morning? Just come to this altar and say, Lord, I am not worthy. And I'm not ashamed to let everybody in this building see it this morning, but I'm asking for your favor in my life. I need it now as much as ever. Worthy of praises. He's worthy of praise each and every day. He's the author of the story. He's written a good script and a good character for you and I. Do not be tempted to stumble at the truth of the Word of God. To think that your emotions or your feelings about what something says overrides what the Word of God says. Believe in the sovereignty of God and have peace this morning, knowing that you're here because He has brought you here. Knowing that that you don't have to worry about whether or not that your children, that your loved ones will respond correctly to whatever it is that you've told them, whatever seed you've sown. He gives the increase. It's not your responsibility. You have a responsibility to sow the seed in the water and trust God. Leave it in His hands. Don't let that weight drag you down any further. A lot of us are carrying weights on us. We feel that we're carrying the weight of loved ones and family members. Remember this morning that He is sovereign. Glorify Him. Give Him praise. And just let Him be Him and do the work. And to carry the heavy load. As I pray this morning, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Give God praise. Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, how that it convicts me and reveals to me and shows me, Lord, how arrogant I can be at times. Lord, to think that I am something in and of myself. Lord, there's so many times that I deceive my own self, thinking, Lord, that I can somehow carry the weight, the burden for others. Lord, I'm convicted of that even yet this morning. Lord, how that it tears me down. Lord, it makes me lose sleep. It causes me so much anguish and anxiety and problems, Lord, but I thank you for reminding me, Lord, that I am powerless and that you have all power. Thank you for reminding me this morning that I can trust you because you've given me faith to trust you, and you've never failed me. You've increased my faith by your actions and your faithfulness. And though I fail you, and I doubt, and I fear, you remain faithful, and I love you. Lord, I praise your name. Lord, you've never done any wrong to anyone. Lord, you are just good in everything that you do. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us to see, Lord, your goodness, your mercy, that our will would align with your will, that we may be found in a place where that we're not doubting, Lord, we're not questioning, but Lord, that we're able to accept every part of your being and glorify you. We thank you for loving us and being good to us. Thank you for saving us when we were powerless to save ourselves. Thank you for sanctifying us each and every day while we are yet powerless, God, to overcome the arm of the flesh. Thank you, Lord, for growing us, Lord, while we were yet powerless to move or grow ourselves.
Lord, you do not leave us where we're at, but you bring us closer to the image of your Son, Jesus. You encourage us. Lord, you help us in every way. May you be glorified for it all. I pray that every heart and every mind that's here this morning would recognize your sovereign power and that you would be exalted and you alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, pray for things that's happening to babies. Be praying for the meetings coming up, camp meetings coming up. Got our youth revival coming up. Be praying much for that. And be praying for, what else was it? Oh, yeah, the camp coming up. Be praying much about that. Is there anybody else that has anything on their heart?
Provide us the most prominent and take care of us going home. Amen.
Amen.